I'd like to read from the Bible. It's actually a passage we looked at very briefly in the Bible study on Thursday, and it's from Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. I just want to take a few verses from verse 26 and verse 27. It's only a very simple message. If today goes well and we like it, we'll do more next week. So Deuteronomy 33, perhaps I'll read from verse 24. Now, this is Moses blessing the tribes of Israel ahead of his departure into heaven, and their departure from the wilderness into the promised land. So to the tribe of Asher, he said in verse 24 of Deuteronomy 33, Asher is most blessed of sons. Let him be favored by his brothers, and let him dip his foot in oil. Your sandals shall be iron and bronze. As your days, so shall your strength be. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you, and in his excellency on the clouds, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. Then Israel shall dwell in safety, the fountain of Jacob alone, in a land of grain and new wine. His heavens shall also drop dew. And we have there a wonderful promise given at first to the tribe of Asher, but also, I think, to the whole of Israel as they prepare to enter the promised land, albeit without Moses. Now, because Moses is about to die, it makes the entry into the promised land all the scarier. Joshua, of course, has been appointed to replace Moses, but Joshua is a relatively young man. He does not have the track record of Moses, and it's a scary time. They've been in the desert for 40 years. They're about to enter this new land. It's full of tribes of very strong people, and I imagine that Israel is feeling particularly vulnerable and scared. And yet it's at that time that we're given a particularly precious set of promises. And of course, it was meant for Israel at that time, but it applies to we who are a part of Israel now. And verse 26 begins by saying, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun. Now, we know when he could just have said, there is no one like God. And we'd have said, yep, good point. Our God is unique. He is precious. He is wonderful. But he's given a specific name here. He is the God of Jeshurun. And Jeshurun, in fact, is a poetic and affectionate name for Israel. It was used in chapter 32, verse 15. Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. It can be translated the dearest upright people, or the beloved ones, used in the Septuagint. It's what you call a diminutive term. A diminutive term is like a term of affection. If you call someone a chick, my little chick, that's diminutive. If you refer to children as kiddies, it is a diminutive term. Well, Jeshurun is a diminutive term. He is the God of the little children of Israel, the dearest upright beloved ones of Israel. And we are not just the people of God. We too are Jeshurun. We are children, the special children who have a special relationship with God. In verse 29, we see that Jeshurun contains with it the idea of blessing and blessedness. And despite the bad times, despite life's problems and difficulties, we are still Jeshurun, and we are still the children of the God of Jeshurun. Now, Moses knew well enough the gods of Egypt, the cats and the crocodiles. They also know fairly well the Canaanite gods, Molech and Baal. But there's no one like the God of Jeshurun. And all over the world today, people are worshipping their own gods. But let me assure you, despite whichever God is being worshipped, there's no one like the God of Jeshurun. Exodus chapter 15, verse 11 says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" You know, you can go looking for whichever God you want, but you'll never find a God like the God of Jeshurun. A God who loves you so much, a God who cares for you so much, a God who provides for you so well, a God who has provided for your salvation, for the atonement for your sin, for the redemption of your soul, even for the strengthening of your body. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun. Moses goes on, he rides across the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in his majesty. Here is a God who races across the sky to come and rescue his beloved people. Oh, there are benefits to being Jeshurun. There really are. Psalm 50, verse 15 is another precious promise of the Bible, which has blessed me a great many times in my life. We're told, "Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me." The God of Jeshurun rides across the sky that he might deliver his people in the day of their trouble. And when we are delivered, yes, we will honor him. That's one reason I think we are here today. We're sitting in our homes on an otherwise quite sunny and pleasant day, and we're here to honor God. We're not here to honor the pastor, heaven forbid. We're not here to honor one another, though I hope we are able to do that. Rather, we're here to honor God. Verse 27 says, "The eternal God is your refuge." Eternal refers to, I think, God's being outside of time. Now, we are each within time. We have a beginning, we have an end. Every one of us is aging. But God is an eternal God. He is neither old nor young. He has all the wisdom of age and yet all the energy of youth. He is an eternal God, unaffected by the changing times and the changing seasons. And it is the eternal God who is our refuge. Many of us can look back at our childhoods and remember times in which our parents were there for us. And yet, perhaps now our parents are not there for us, or perhaps they're there, but they're no longer as strong as they used to be. You see, they were once our refuge, but they've either been taken away or they now need our help. The God of Jeshurun is an eternal God. He neither ages, sleeps, or slumbers, neither does he grow weary. And that eternal God is our refuge, our help in time of trouble is eternal. In Numbers chapter 35, verse 12, we read, "They will be places of refuge from the avenger, so that anyone accused of murder may not die before they stand trial before the assembly." And we have there one of 20 references to so-called cities of refuge, a particular city in Israel to which those being hunted and avenged might flee. Well, we are not called to go to a city, Jerusalem or Mecca or Rome or Salt Lake, were called to flee to Christ. He is the eternal God. He is our refuge. And of this eternal God who is our refuge come next a beautiful expression. And underneath are the everlasting arms. There we have another picture of God's eternal nature outside of time, not subjected to the fashions and the blustering gales of the day. His arms are everlasting. He is eternal. Now, why would it say that underneath are the everlasting arms? The arms might be around us. The arms might be with us. The arms might be above us. But no, we're told the everlasting arms are underneath. You see, friends, the child of God cannot sink. He cannot sink. He cannot go under. He cannot be washed away or swept away, because underneath him are the everlasting arms. Furthermore, every one of us is being carried. Now, we like to think of ourselves as being independent. Let's think again of our childhood. We might not remember so well our own time toddling, but we will have seen it in other children, perhaps our own. But when a child is first able to crawl, you can't stop him or her. And when the child is first able to walk, you never keep still. And movement is a part of who we are. And one of the reasons we're finding this lockdown so difficult is that we have to stay put. Now, I can see through my dining room window there. It's a lovely day. And we get so few lovely days in this country that when there's a great day, I want to go out. Okay, perhaps not on a Sunday except to church, but it's meant to be good weather tomorrow as well. Where can I go? Bolton Abbey, Pendle Hill, somewhere further afield. But I'm afraid I won't be. I'll tell you where I'm going to be tomorrow in this lovely day. I'm going to be in Barn Oldswick. And on the next lovely day, I'm going to be in Barn Oldswick. You see, my movement, my right to roam, has been restricted and cut off. And yet there is a sense in our text here that it's not we who are traveling about, it's God who is carrying us. And I thank him today that I'm not expected to walk all the way to heaven. Underneath me are the everlasting arms. Let me read to you from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 46 and verse 3. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. And even to grey hairs, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry, and will deliver you. Who gets carried? The young, the weak, the disabled, the dying. Well, I thank God. Jeshurun is carried. The people of Jeshurun are born. In the ancient world, the only people who carried and bore burdens were servants and slaves. And yet our servant king carries us. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And surely of that servant king, Isaiah once more prophesies in chapter 40 and verse 11. He tends his flocks like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. I don't know whether you're worried by what's going on in the world right now or not. I hope you're not, because God is sovereign and he's still in control. But whether you're worried about this or you're worried about something else or whatever troubles you and perplexes you, of this be assured. The God of Jeshurun carries Jeshurun. God carries you. And he'll see you through this crisis as he will the next and the one after that. Deuteronomy says he will drive out your enemies before you, saying, destroy them so Israel will live in safety. Jacob will dwell secure. Remember, Israel is about to enter the promised land, and it's a daunting prospect. These people are tough, and that they're strong, and they're better armed, and well, the God of Jeshurun will race across the sky to drive them out before them. Paul tells Timothy in his first epistle, chapter 1 and verse 12, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He's leading them into a land of grain and new wine, where the heavens drop dew. I thank God that all the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. Let me close this little session by reading verse 29. Blessed are you, Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will tread on their heights. Peter tells the people of God, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. This afternoon, remember this, you are blessed because you are Jeshurun, God's special little children, his upright people. We are blessed because we have the God of Jeshurun. We need not fear, because underneath us are the everlasting arms. Before we close in song, let me read a poem to you. It's such a famous poem, I fear that some of you might switch off, but it is wonderfully fitting. Read and listen and enjoy it. As I was preparing for this, I read it, and I'll confess, a tear came to my eye. One night, a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand. Why, when I needed you most, you would leave me? The Lord replied, my son, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Let's close by singing a song together.